welcome to the Brown Bowl podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Brown Bowl podcast. I am very excited you're here because I love the topic that we're going to talk about today. It's the topic of mindset, and especially in the context of taking more steps into the vegan direction. So if you're kind of in the transition to going vegan, if you've already made the switch, if you're a bit into it and you're struggling a little bit, if you're thinking about it and you're not sure if you can do it, this is a topic that is so important. And if you're already miles into your journey, years into your journey of being vegan, this can also help because I think it's something that can easily translate to so many other parts of your life and areas of your life. I think it's really cool. And we're going to get really into it. I'm going to share lots of stories, and that's going to be really, really awesome. Now, before we do, I've got, as usual, some little announcements and some things to tell you. Now, one thing I've been meaning to tell you is that if you follow us on social media and you feel that we've been a little bit quiet lately, especially all my Instagram fans, you know, I'm such a huge fan of Instagram, and especially those Insta stories. I love them. I was there doing it almost every day, basically giving you a little kind of shot of what our life is like, and it kind of stopped. There's an explanation for all of that, and I promise you that I'm going to be better at it this week, hopefully this week, and definitely next week. The big change that happened in our lives that has kind of, it has me distracted, which makes me just forget about my phone, which is a very good thing, I think, once in a while, right? I've been completely disconnected to my phone, and I think that that has been really amazing. The thing that happened is that my darling in-laws have moved into town. They have moved to Spain and they have moved to Madrid. So we've been running around with them, helping them settle in, and they've been staying with us these first few weeks until they find their apartment and things like that. So Godless has been incredibly excited to have his parents over. And before you start thinking, oh my God, how are they handling this? I am one of those. I think with in-laws, you have two options, right? You either have a great relationship with them and things are just easy peasy and really great, or it's like, I don't know, this tsunami just suddenly came into your house. I am so lucky. I am so blessed and lucky because I have the best in-laws in the planet. They are zero intrusive. They are just, I don't know, it's been great. We've been getting along great. We've had a relationship for years because Godless and I have been together for 17 years at this point. So I've known them for 17 years. We've been incredibly close. My parents aren't alive, so they've been kind of my substitute parents in a way. So it's just been great. And we've been doing a lot of things. I've been, of course, cooking up a storm. My father-in-law is vegan. My mother-in-law isn't, but she's been trying out different things, all of the recipes that I've been making them, things from our online program, things, you know, just recipes I've been creating based on the things that they love. And we've been making it work, and it's been amazing. And of course, this has kind of gotten me a little bit disconnected from social media recently. And I apologize for that because I know that lots of you love our posts and have been waiting for those Insta stories and are kind of wondering what happened. Well, that's what happened. We've had this huge shift because now we have family nearby. I really can't believe it. And so that's taken, a little bit of our time, but things are kind of slowly starting to settle down. We've found our little rhythm, and I'm finding little bits and pieces of time here and there to kind of get back into the groove of things. So you're going to have them back again really soon, and you're going to see lots of pictures of the things we've been doing, lots of pictures of them and the places we've taken them to. It's been great. So that's kind of what's been going on around here. I also wanted to give you a little announcement because I wrote an article for an amazing new website called Green Living Spain. If you live in Spain, if you're an expat or living in Spain, or if you're traveling to Spain, this website is really, really incredible because it kind of gives you, it's not a fully vegan website, but it's all about green living. It's got lots of articles for vegetarians, lots of articles for vegans. It tells you about farmers markets and natural markets and, you know, beauty products and recipes. And it's got all sorts of, you know, fashion. It's got information on recycling, all sorts of things related to how to live green in Spain. So they invited me over as a guest writer to write an article about naturally vegan eats in Spain. So what are those, some of those essential traditional, like really, really traditional dishes that you can find throughout Spain that are naturally vegan by default, right? Not things that you can find veganized at vegan restaurants, but what if you're like right in the middle of the countryside and you step into a little bar? What are some of the things that you can order? And what are some of the things that you can easily swap out an ingredient or ask questions about to find out if they're fully vegan and enjoy? So it's really exciting. It's got lots of information there. So I can't wait for you to check it out and also check out this incredible website. So the web address for that is www.greenlivingspain.com. And if you go to the restaurants tab and you click Madrid, you're going to find my little article. It has like this huge plate of grilled veggies in the post. That's kind of like the cover photo of the post. Because it's one of my favorite Spanish dishes, is a grilled vegetable platter. You can find it almost anywhere, and it's fantastic. And you can check out all of the other naturally vegan dishes in Spain in case you want to take a trip. And if you do, and if you come to Madrid, you have to let me know so we can have, you know, a cup of coffee together or go to a vegan restaurant and have some vegan tapas together. So that was the little announcement I wanted to give you today. And of course, as usual, I want to point you to one of the resources you might love from our website in case you want to, you listen to today's episode and you want to dig into some more stuff. And of course, we have the blog and we have our online program and we have our free video series and all of that. But one of the most recent things we've created that is completely free and you can start enjoying as soon as you stop listening to this episode, as soon as you listen to this episode, is our free Vegan Breakfast and Brunch Classics course. This is a free course in which I kind of teach you how to make some of the most traditional dishes that we love for breakfast or breakfast for dinner or whenever you want to have these. And I teach you how to make them. I teach you how to make breakfast sausages from scratch at home with ingredients you can find at the supermarket, your regular supermarket. I teach you how to make tofu scrambles and oat porridges and smoothies. And I teach you how to make buttermilk pancakes and oat pancakes. And I mean, scones, blueberry scones. There are so many different recipes. And in each video, it's all in video format. And it's also got great printables that you can stick to your fridge with ideas for quick and easy to assemble breakfast. Sometimes breakfast is one of those things where you're kind of scratching your head if you used to be a bacon and eggs breakfast eater like I was, right? So it's full of helpful tips and meal ideas. And the videos not only include, you know, how to make the recipe, but some of the basics so you start understanding how you can cook without eggs and without cheese and without all of these things that we feel are so essential to our diets because they've just been habits, but it's not really the case. You can swap them out for plant-based ingredients. So it's really cool. All you have to do to start enjoying the course is you go to brownbowl.com and you wait a couple seconds. And you're going to get a great pop-up with a beautiful picture on your screen. You click the button and it takes you right over. And then you just sign up. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to put in your credit card. You don't have to do anything. Just your name and email address so that you get your own little login to the course. And you can log in and out. And whenever you'd like, you can add a little photo of yourself. And you can, you know, engage with other people, other students who are taking the course in the comments. You can ask me questions. It's absolutely great. It's really great. We're so proud of it. So go check that out at bramble.com or you can visit www.bramble.com/breakfast and take a look at our little trailer there and sign up for free. Okay, so that's all, you know, all I had to give you in terms of little announcements and things. And now let's talk about mindset. All right, so, you know, in today's episode and, of course, the post that goes with this episode. By the way, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of links I'm going to mention in today's episode, but there is a photo that you're going to want to see. So if you want to see the photo, and I'm going to tell you what it is in a second, if you want to see the photo or if you just want to take a look at this and share it, you can always go to the post that goes with the episode. Every episode has a post attached. And you just go to bramble.com and you use the little search bar and you type in mindset or going vegan and the importance of mindset, and it'll take you to the post. It's, by the way, also the name, the title of the episode. If you have it on your phone, that's what you have to look for in the website. So in today's episode, we'll be talking about the importance of mindset when you switch to a vegan diet. You know, for the past year especially, in which Bramble has really grown, I've been receiving the most incredible comments and emails from you telling me about your motivations and your reasons for wanting to make this change, and especially your struggles, right? A lot of you email asking me questions and tell me the things you've been struggling with. And it's in those struggles where I really just love to linger with you and tell you that what you're going through is normal. And I know, because a lot of you have written to me in the past few weeks, many of you, by the way, thanks to watching the documentary What the Health, which I think is going to create more vegans than any other film in the history of films. I thought Veducated was going to be that movie forever, and now we have even an extra one. If you watched What the Health and you haven't watched Veducated, you're in for a real treat. Go see that movie. But it's been, a lot of people are just making the switch at this very moment. And a lot of you have emailed me about it. So if you're listening to this right now, and even if you're a long way away, if you're already comfortably vegan, I know that it can sometimes be challenging, right? I know it. And what you're going through is normal. It's normal when you're making a change into something that the majority of people aren't doing. Let's say it like that, right? I know that it's hard to give up cheese, and I know it's hard to give up meat and fish and eggs. I know that it's hard to make the change when you're the only vegan that you know. That was the case for me. I was the only vegan I knew. And before I went vegan, I didn't even know that the word vegan existed. And, you know, I know it's hard when oftentimes our closest family members and friends don't understand it or support it. And I know it's hard to go to social situations in the beginning. This was so hard for me. I've talked about this endlessly in the podcast. If you have never heard of it, just go back to other episodes, because I mentioned my struggle with this. This was hard for me. I know that it can also be a big change and challenging to try to assemble meals in a different way than you did before, right? Because we've been eating in a way for our entire lives, and now we have this huge shift, right? I also know, and sometimes for many people this is the hardest, especially if you're a perfectionist, I know that it's hard to quiet down that little voice, right? That little voice, we all know what voice that is second guessing every step of the way, right? It's second guessing every choice you make every step of the way, wondering if you're doing it perfectly right, if you're gonna get enough nutrition, if you're making mistakes, how people are supposed to do this. And I know that it's hard. And that little voice, oh my goodness, I had this little voice so much because I'm an overachiever and a perfectionist, which is not a good combination. Okay, so, you know, what I want to say before we get started is that I get it. I get it. I totally get it, you guys. I was in each of those places when I went vegan. And all I can tell you, after having moved past that stage many moons ago, all I can tell you is that everything settles down. And it will become so normal for you that you won't even have to think about it. I know it seems impossible right now if you're just getting started, but you will get there. You will totally get there. And the path is going to start unfolding naturally. If you just put one step in front of the other, the path will start unfolding. And soon you're going to find yourself kind of, instead of just crawling your way through it, trying to find out how this stuff is done, to skipping through it. Like if you were a happy little kid who doesn't even care about what other people think, or who just knows that you know, if you follow the road, you're going to get there. You're going to be skipping through it. And of course, everything we teach you here at Bramble and in our online program, especially, it helps you through that as well. But I promise you that there is another side to this if right now you're struggling. And I love to linger in the struggle with you guys because I think those emails that I get every single day, I get emails from you guys every single day and I read them every single day and I reply to every single one of them, even though sometimes it takes me more than just that day because we've been getting so many recently. I think those emails are brave. I think they're so brave. I think it's brave to acknowledge the fact that you sometimes don't have all the answers and that you need help. That's where everything I do comes into play, right? And then I get to teach you all the practical tools and the tips that helped me and that have helped countless others while they are transitioning to a vegan diet. And, you know, in those amazing letters from you, I've heard so many different stories. You know, you would think that everyone goes through this in a similar way and that there are plenty of patterns. And sure, you know, we're human beings and any big changes that we go through will entail kind of certain common themes for sure. But the truth is that what I've seen is that everybody is different and your stories are very different and your struggles are different. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different belief systems. We had different upbringings and this can affect things so much. You know, some of us had very open-minded parents who loved to give us kind of incentives to be ourselves and to express who we truly were, right? That's the case for some of us. But for others, you know, we had more rigid and a traditional childhood. And some had parents who made them feel guilty about eating in a certain way or having a certain body. Other people never paid attention to food and it was kind of drive-through central all the way. Some of us were raised in a lack-centered environment, right? Where the focus was kind of like a guilt-ridden trip and lack-centered on lack. And others grew up in a kind of abundance mentality. All of these things kind of come into play when making decisions and making changes as adults. And I see this so, so clearly in all of your stories. I really do. And I can tell you this, you know, no matter how different these letters are from the next person's, the topic of mindset, which is the topic we're talking about today, is always kind of this, the blank piece of paper upon which your words and your stories are written. When you send me those letters, they're not actual mailed letters. That would be so romantic and wonderful. If you want, you can send me one. It's pretty cool. That's so cool. That would be so cool. But even if they're in email format, it's the blank screen. Mindset is like that blank screen upon which everything is written. Your story is written. And that's what I get to see. It's the thing that's kind of behind everything. And I like to see it as a little elephant. Well, not a little one. A big elephant in the room. Imagine you have a big elephant in the room that you may not have noticed because it kind of walked in super quietly and the elephant sat down next to you on the couch like a little elephant ninja without making a peep, right? And it even made popcorn and it changed the channel. And you're just going about your day feeling, you know, something's a little bit strange, but everything looks kind of the same. You didn't see it. Everything looks kind of the same. But anybody who walks into the room would suddenly and immediately say, "What's that freaking elephant doing sitting on your coffee table?" Right? You know, to me, from kind of an outsider's perspective, when I read your emails and your comments and everything you send me, mindset is really easy to spot. So when you tell me about your struggles and the things that, you know, you're having problems with and the reason why you stopped many times and now you're trying it again, the reason why you didn't work the first time or the second time or even the fourth time or how many times you've tried it, it's really easy to spot. It's that big elephant sitting in your sofa. But for you, it's kind of a baseline that you're often unaware of. It's that blank screen on top of which you write your words and you tell me your stories. But for me, it's really easy to spot. And let me tell you this, mindset is everything. the outlook we have on certain situations, the way we see the situations that are occurring to us, that we're living and that we're going through, it is everything. And I can tell you this because I have seen the success stories, I have seen the failures, and I have seen people who are struggling much more than they expected or need to, because it doesn't have to be so hard and so challenging when you make a change like this, right? I've seen people who are struggling much more than is needed. And yes, it was all about the popcorn eating, channel changing elephant in your living room. You don't feel it's there and you might not have awareness of it, but somehow your reality and your perspective and your choices and your reactions and your actions, they're all slightly affected by it. And when you write, when you are so brave to tell me those stories and to send them to me, I can see it clearly and I can kind of point you to that. But you can do it too. You can do it too, you know, but before we talk about how, let me just say this, you know, mindset influences the way we see and the way we react to the world and to our topic of today, which is, you know, making such a big change, right? It affects whether or not we see a big change in our life, such as going vegan, as hard, impossible, too rigid, not enough, alienating, or we see it on the flip side as an exciting adventure or a new culinary journey or abundance at the table instead of lack at the table or a challenge, but in a good way, or a way to raise our confidence and our assertiveness, right? And so much more. I could go on forever. Do you see how you can see the same thing in such different ways? And we kind of assume that that elephant, that mindset, is unchangeable, right? We feel that it's too heavy, that we can't move it off the couch. And we feel that it's a part of our personality that we kind of sign off as a given. And, you know, we're either flexible or we're not flexible. We're open to new things or we're not. We believe we can change or we don't. And nothing could be further from the truth. And I tell you this because I thought I was never going to be able to change the way I ate before. And I have seen so many people who have believed to their core that they would never be able to make this change. And they did. And part of it was changing their mindset. But before we go more in depth into mindset, because I'm going to give you so many tools and tips to kind of help you look at it and stare it right in the face and take a look and see what you can change if you want to change it. Because by the way, this not only impacts veganism, it impacts stress levels at work. It impacts the way you react to problems in your personal life, the way we treat other people, the way we let other people treat us. It impacts so many different things. And we're going to stare it right in the face. But before we do that, I have to tell you about something. I have to tell you about my mom's monster spray. And yes, I said monster spray, and I'm going to explain what that means. It sounds very strange and like it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but bear with me. You're going to like this story. So, you know, when I was a little kid, I was obsessed with ballet, you know, like ballet, classical ballet. I was obsessed with it. And strangely, my mom, in spite of seeing this obsession that I had, and I would twirl and pirouette across the living room when I was going to the kitchen, and I had no idea what I was doing. But strangely, my mom never sent me to class, to ballet class. I don't know why. She never sent me to ballet class, in spite of the fact that I was so, so drawn to it. And I actually ended up going to my first ballet class because this interest never went away. I went to my first ballet class when I was 15 years old. Yes, it was very late. It was too late for anything professional, but I didn't care about that. I didn't want to be a professional ballet dancer, partly because it terrifies the heck out of me to be on a stage in front of a lot of people. Once I had to do it in a school dance, and I completely forgot all my steps. Really, it was so embarrassing. Anyway, I was 15 when I went to my first ballet class. It was too late for anything professional, but it was just enough time to make it the obsessive focus of my early teenage years, which was kind of a good thing, a bad thing in other areas. But it was also a good thing. And, you know, early on, in spite of the fact that I went into class late, really, really early on as a little kid, I loved ballet so much that I would watch old ballets on my mom's Betamax. She had ballets recorded on, you know, when you could, I'm totally aging myself here, when you could, dating myself, I'm sorry, when you could record like stuff that was on the TV on a Betamax tape and record over it and stuff like that. So my mom would record ballets. I don't know why, because she was never a ballet dancer either, but I found her tapes and I became obsessed with them. I thought they were the bomb, and I was disturbingly obsessed with two ballets in particular. One was called The Bat Ballet. And yes, that was a classical ballet about a bat, like Batman. I mean, a bat. And by the way, this ballet ended up saving my mom hundreds of dollars in Halloween costumes, because I would only wear a little bat costume that my mom made for me. I would wear that for every holiday for years. And this is, enter the photo that I told you at the top of the show that you would definitely want to see. There's a photo of me as a little tiny kid in that bat costume. I am adding it. Yes, I am adding it to the post that goes with this episode, because I thought it was important to give you proof, right? So this is like the proof is in the pudding photo. So this was one of the ballets, the Bat Ballet, which saved my mom hundreds on Halloween costumes. The other one was a very well-known ballet called Petrushka. Petrushka is a Russian ballet about three puppets in like a little puppet theater who are brought to life. And one of whom, his name is Petrushka, who is a very kind of scary looking clown-like character. He suffers greatly from an unrequited love and suffers a very bitter end to his life. And his dance is volatile and aggressive and sad, and it's downright painful. And I could never take my eyes off him. His dance in this ballet is like a visual representation of suffering. And this is incredibly dark. I was 5 years old and I was obsessed with this little clown. And I think it was the movement. I've always been, you know, very kind of physical, and I love movement, and I always loved dance. So yeah, it stuck with me, partly because maybe my mom didn't have a lot of ballet tapes and maybe those were the only two. I don't remember. Those were my obsessions. So I would watch the ballet over and over again. And my mom had to get me, she found a way, I don't know where, I don't know if this was on, I don't know how she found this, but she found paper dolls. Do you remember paper dolls? Now I'm really dating myself. You know, like those little paper dolls where you changed the clothes and you had the little tabs. Well, these were kind of like that. They didn't have extra clothing, but they were paper dolls. And, you know, I don't know how she found this, but she got me paper dolls of that Petrushka ballet with all the characters and a paper puppet theater to play with, because I kept dancing like Petrushka across the living room. I had learned all the choreography and I kept dancing across the living room and kept knocking things over, knocking things down. And she said, okay, that this has to stop. So she got me the little, I don't know, game, this little paper doll theater, so I could play and make them dance around on the table without making a mess. So in spite of this incredibly odd obsession, I developed a few things from this experience. I became terrified of clowns, which then turned into fear of the dark, which then turned into monsters / Petrushka under my bed and in the closet. And every morning, I would play with my paper puppet theater and my scary-looking Petrushka paper doll. And every night, I was sure that Petrushka was under my bed and would grab my feet when I walked to the bathroom, and I couldn't sleep. And this is, I know this is ridiculous. This is one of those, this makes no sense, but how do I explain this to a five-year-old kind of situation, right? Probably most parents would just take the damn puppet theater away. But that wasn't a salute. That my mom was just not that kind of a my mom was not that kind of a parent. So the only solution in my mom's eye was anti-clown Petrushka monster spray. Yeah, anti-clown Petrushka monster spray. So this is what she did. She secretly filled a spray bottle with water, and she made a label with monsters and clowns drawn all over, like really professionally looking, at least for a five-year-old. And she drew a big red X over them in the label. And she told me that it was monster spray. Every night when I felt terrified to sleep in my room, she would spray my room with anti-clown Petrushka monster spray. Now, according to my mother, my monster under the bed and Petrushka under the bed fears, they left the building in less than 2 weeks of using the little spray. And I always remember that story when I think of mindset. And, you know, the spray helped me feel that I could do something about my fear. It made me feel safe. And soon I was kind of approaching the whole thing from a different perspective, right? The paper dolls were just paper dolls, and monsters simply weren't going to come into the room. And Petrushka became just a character in a story. And I had lost my apprehension, and things lost kind of those magnified powers that I had given them. Now, the story doesn't end there. You know, my mom didn't just want to put a Band-Aid on my fears. This was like the emergency approach. But then things went a little bit further. So here's what she did. She sat down with me to make a new Petrushka paper doll. Not the one that came in the box with all the other ones that was kind of pre-made, right? With his face and his clothes from the ballet and all that. She made a new one with me. One that I could draw, since I was so terrified of the original. So she cut out a little paper doll in the same shape of Petrushka, and she made me draw the face and the clothes. And I made my first paper doll, and I painted a little clown suit and the little face, and I placed the other one, the original one, in the box, and I started playing with the new Petrushka and all the other characters, because the other characters were not a problem. And I started playing with the new Petrushka, the one that I had designed from my new perspective. And so here's what I had done. I had eased my fear, and then I had changed my mindset, right? I eased my fear with the spray, and then I changed my mindset by, from a new perspective, creating a different reality. I changed the doll. I drew a new doll. So, quick side note before we continue. Many years later, when I was a teenager, a late teenager, I found my mom was one of these people that kind of, she wasn't a hoarder, but when it came to like things from my childhood and stuff, she never threw anything out. So when I was a late teen, I found the two paper dolls. I actually found them. I found the original one, and I found my own, the one I drew. And I can't even tell you how incredibly scary looking the one I made was. And you can blame my five-year-old drawing skills for that, of course. It was this horrible looking clown. It was incredibly terrifying, much more than the original. But of course, to me, it had lost its power. And that was all I needed. So that's a little side note there about what, you know, how an adult might see the whole thing later on. So, you know, for you, this story, it might remind you of the placebo effect, for example, right? You take a sugar pill and you start feeling relief from a symptom, even if it wasn't the real medication, if people told you it was the real medication. Or you think, for example, a cheap boxed wine is the best wine you've ever tasted if someone put it in a very expensive bottle from a famous winery, right? No matter what you call it, here is the deal. Are you ready? Here's the deal. What we believe becomes what we experience. I'm going to say that again because it is so true for so many aspects of our lives. What we believe becomes what we experience. That's it. That's how our minds work. So here's where mindset enters the picture, right? When it comes to making a change that in most cases is kind of contrary to what we've been taught for years, for example, humans are designed to eat meat. The only source of protein is meat. Eating animal products is natural. Eating animal products is part of our culture and our family's traditions, etc. You know, whatever kind of beliefs are rolling around in your head, because we've all had them, right? Mindset can be your biggest ally or it can be your greatest hindrance. And I have seen this time and time again. Remember that mindset is that big elephant in the middle of your living room that you're not usually aware is there, but you keep wondering why the channel keeps changing on you, right? Or the couch cushions aren't where they're supposed to be. If you're eating, for example, and he whispers, "This is too hard," or "I don't know if I'll be able to do this," or "I won't be able to live without X," X being cheese, milk, yogurt, ice cream. Well, you don't have to live without ice cream or yogurt, by the way, because there's non-dairy versions of that. But you know what? And cheese as well. there's even vegan versions of eggs, but you know what I mean. I won't be able to live without steak, for example. Or my family will never come around and accept this new change. Or there is nothing here for me to eat. You know, if this is what's going on, the elephant will sink its tushy into the couch and stay put. And beliefs like the ones I just mentioned, they set up house. And then what happens? Difficulties become obsessions, and obsessions like obsessive thoughts that you're not going to be able to do this. And those obsessions then become fears, right? Then suddenly it's not an obsession about whether or not you're, I don't know, getting enough nutrients, for example, if that's the case, if that's something that you've been worried about. And then that obsession becomes an actual fear and you start feeling physical symptoms that something's going off. Our mind can influence so much of what we experience. And, you know, we eventually just decide to go back to old familiar ways, no matter how deep our motivation was in the beginning. That's why motivation is incredible. And finding your why it is you're doing this and holding it really close and really present is very important. But if you don't have the mindset, you're going to go back. And I've seen this so many times. Mindset and the way we see the things that happen, because any change that goes against the grain is challenging by definition, by default, right? So yeah, I mean, this is going to kind of become a bigger and bigger and bigger deal. If that's what the little elephant is telling you every time you take a bite, every time you go to a restaurant, every time you go to a social situation, right? But if on the flip side, you decide to kind of face things and change your outlook, your elephant in the room can whisper entirely different things, right? And you can start having a positive and abundant mindset. And you can have beliefs like these. For example, this is only about what I put on my plate. It's no biggie. In the grand scheme of things, right? If you have people that are bugging you about it, it's only about what I put on my plate. That's it. It's personal. I don't have to have it figured out right away. I'll learn things as I go, especially for everyone who's having lots of questions and concerns about how to fill your plate, if you're getting enough nutrients. These are things that we're going to learn through the process. And of course, it's incredibly important and we do have to focus on it. But you don't have to have it figured out from day one. There is room to learn and there's room to make mistakes. Absolutely. Another one. It doesn't matter if I don't share this one thing with the people around me. It is just one aspect of my daily life and it's nobody's business how I fill my plate, right? Or there are so many vegan restaurants popping up all over the place instead of there's nowhere I can eat. Another one. If I go to a non-vegan restaurant, there's always something creative I can put together to make a meal, right? If there isn't anything that's obviously vegan, or I can ask for what I want and many people are gonna accommodate me. And another one, there are so many delicious vegan options around the world and vegan travel is getting easier and more delicious with every passing day. It's okay if one meal isn't perfect. It's just one of thousands I'll have throughout my life. It's okay if I answered a question in a strange way when that person asked me about veganism, right? I'm still learning. Here's another way of looking at things. For example, another belief that you can have when you're looking at this positively. Vegan cooking is not harder. It just requires getting acquainted with new ingredients. Just like if I was learning how to make Thai food, for example, right? There's a little learning curve, but then it's just like cooking anything else. Another one, I don't have to give up the foods I love. I can have vegan versions of burgers, pizza, lasagna, grilled cheese, pancakes, barbecues, you know, whatever it is that you like. Or it turns out I can live without meat and dairy because I'm adding in delicious foods in their place. Or I don't need to be 100% perfect all the time There is no vegan police, and if I fall off the wagon with a bite of food I took, a meal I had, you know, anything in which I ate something that wasn't vegan, I can just get back on in the next meal and I can learn from it. Or my personal favorite, a vegan diet is not about removing foods and feeling deprived. It's about swapping a meat-based ingredient for a plant-based ingredient to make exactly the same dishes I used to love and new ones too. So, do you see? We've got two very different elephants. Which of the two elephants do you think will guide you towards making this change stick? Well, not only stick, but, you know, make it fun and doable and exciting and delicious and something that's, I don't know, that's empowering you. You know which one. You know which elephant. You know it. You know it, right? The only question you might be asking yourself right now is, how do we change our mindset if we feel stuck in negative town, right? If we look at this and we listen to this information and we say, okay, yeah, I'm stuck in negative town and things are difficult because I'm stuck in negative town. How do I change that, right? If we're focusing on difficulties and lack, how do we change it? Well, we change it by becoming an annoying, but why? Five-year-old. You know, these little five-year-olds are always asking, but why? But why? Why is this like this? And why is that like that? And when you answer, they ask, but why? That's how you do it. So the first step is always awareness, right? The first step into changing your mindset is awareness. You're going to become the most annoying little five-year-old version of yourself that is always asking questions, asking why. Whenever you're having a negative thought, whenever you feel it's being really difficult to make this change, whenever you're feeling discouraged or you're feeling caught in that perfection trap or feeling lonely on this journey, whenever any of these negative things are going on, ask yourself questions. Ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? What happened that made me feel this way? Is this really what is bothering me or is it something else? Could there be a flip side to what I'm feeling regarding the situation, right? Is there another perspective to the same thing? Is it possible that I'm just having an off day, a bad day in the middle of lots of good days, but just right now at this very moment, I can't see the good days. I'm just focusing on today, but it's actually just one in the middle of many awesome ones. Am I judging myself too harshly? Am I doing too much too soon, too quickly? Has it become overwhelming because I'm trying to become an eating superhero when I've told you many times that that doesn't exist, right? Do I need to take it easier? Do I need support or to hear the experiences of other people who are also going through this? I love this one. What would I tell a friend or my daughter or my son or my nephew or my niece or my grandchild or my younger self if they were going through this difficult moment? What would I say, right? What would I say? And then I want you to take a step back and try to become that outsider looking at that elephant in the room. Remember I told you that the outsider, like me, when I look at your emails and your struggles, we see the elephant in the room sometimes more clearly than you do when you're stuck in negative town, right? We see the elephant in the room. So I want you to become an outsider, take a step back, become that outsider looking at that elephant. That elephant is the symbol of your mindset. And just like I do, you know, when I get your amazing stories, take a look at what that is. Notice that the elephant is there. Awareness, that's the first step. Notice that that is your mindset, that it's always there. Your mindset is always there. But you can start viewing life and your current situation and changes through a new lens and a new perspective. So if that's the case, what would that look like? Take a step back and see that. What would that look like? Right? And by the way, when I mentioned all of those different things, those positive ways of seeing certain things related to veganism that I mentioned before, right? About how vegan travel is getting easier, how there are plenty of restaurants, how I can find something to eat anywhere, all of these things. It's not about a cultish kind of self-brainwashing. It's not about repeating affirmations until you're kind of blue in the face. This has become so popular. I'm not a huge fan of affirmations. I think part of them, you know, in essence, they're amazing, but we've kind of taken them to a very very strange place of just repetition where there isn't a lot of meaning behind them. So it's not about repeating, you know, meaningless affirmations until you're blue in the face and you kind of try to convince yourself of them. It's not about that. You know, to me, that feels like you have to psych yourself up, and it can feel artificial and it can feel untrue if you don't believe it is true, right? It's not about doing Jedi mind tricks that will convince you, and it's not about ignoring the struggles or toughening up. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And this is going to surprise you. And this is what I'm going to end this little episode with, because you've got a lot of stuff to do and I'm going to give you some homework. And you've got a lot, this is a lot to take in, and you might have to listen to this again or read it if you want to take some time in the blog post that goes with this episode. So it's not about ignoring the struggles. You know, when it comes to mindset, this is the truth. Okay? Are you ready? Both realities, the negative mindset and the positive mindset, they both exist at any given moment. It's why you explain the fact that some people are going through horrible life conditions and still have the most incredible will to live and a smile on their face, and you can see them dancing and having fun together, and their conditions and situation in life is so, it's what we would consider unlivable. And they have this will and this powerful energy and this way of enjoying even the smallest things. And then others are so negative when everything seems to be going just fine in their lives, right? Every single aspect of one's life has both the bad and the good. We all, as people, we have the bad and the good. It's not about ignoring one and hypnotizing yourself until you believe the optimistic side of things. That's not what it's about. It's actually about bringing awareness back to both, right? Bringing awareness back to both. The elephant is there, and you can bring awareness to it, whether right now it's mostly negative or half and half or mostly positive. It's about bringing awareness back to it and trying to retrain yourself to notice the positive, even if there are negatives. It's not about ignoring the negatives. So if you're feeling the struggle, I hear you. And it's important that you don't ignore it. It's important that you acknowledge it. It's important that you ask for help. All those wonderful things that most of you are already doing, because those emails are just, they're filling my heart every single day. But it's about retraining you to notice also the positive, even if there is a negative. And with time, by seeing both, it just becomes a habit, and focusing on what feels good is going to start becoming the new default. Because when you see both, and when you're kind of bringing awareness to why it is that you're reacting in a certain way, or why it is that something is affecting you in a certain way, and you take a look at that elephant in the room, even if it's both the good and the bad, we're always going to try to grab onto what feels good, and it's going to start becoming the new default, even if you feel the struggle and the difficulties as well. And this, my friends, this can be life-changing, and especially when making such a big change like we're doing when we're transitioning to a vegan diet. It can be the difference between sticking to it and enjoying the ride, or feeling very uncomfortable and stopping. It's everything. Mindset is everything. And if you're already comfortably there, it can be everything in other aspects of your life too, where you're struggling, because mindset is everything, and it infuses and kind of seeps into every aspect of our lives. It's kind of that blank piece of paper, remember? So this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring as much awareness as possible to the struggles that you're having, whether vegan and diet related or not. And I want you to take a look at it like that annoying little five-year-old and ask yourself some questions, right? Ask yourself, I gave you lots of examples, ask yourselves those questions, and then take a step back even further. Almost as if you were kind of seeing the struggle or the difficulty from the window of a train, right? And you're looking out into the landscape, and the landscape is the issue. Take a step back, look at it from the window, and see what other possibilities there are when it comes to that particular situation. Don't ignore the way you're feeling. Don't try to toughen up. Feel what you feel, but then try to see it from a distance and say, okay, what else? What is another possibility here? What is the flip side? How would somebody with a positive mindset look at the same situation? You know, for our mindset to change, we need to look at it head on instead of ignoring it. And we need to take steps to change it, but with awareness. Just like the 5-year-old me decided to make her own version of the scary looking Petrushka doll, right? From a different perspective, without the excess fear and emotion, and then just continued to play with it. That's the key. All right, so that's a lot of info right there. And these concepts are so abstract. I love using the elephant metaphor because I think it's something that's easy and fun and kind of funny to visualize. And it's a place where you can go to if this starts feeling too abstract, which all these things can, because we can't touch them, we can't see them, we can't sometimes explain them really, you know, too easily. So I wanted to leave you with that, and I want to leave you with that little exercise, because if you're embarking on this journey and you're struggling right now, it can make such a big difference. So I can't thank you enough for listening to all of those stories, my Petrushka doll story, which you might have started listening to and saying, what the heck is this woman talking about? Where is she going with this? This has nothing to do with veganism. I'm out, but you stuck through it anyway. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, if you want to support this podcast, I always tell you at the end of the show how you can do that. And it's really simple. The main way you can support us and keep this podcast going is to leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. So all you have to do this is grab your phone, go to the podcast app and to the little search icon and type in Brown Bowl. You go to our podcast and click the reviews tab, click write a review, and you leave it there. And you can also do this on your computer by going to iTunes, typing in Brown Bowl in the search bar, going to the podcast and write the review there. And it's really easy, and it helps so much because the reviews and the ratings help us rank higher in searches, which means we can go from being completely invisible to actually appearing there for people who are looking for information and looking for help. And that's why we do this. That's why we do what we do at Brown Bowl. This podcast is free, and it is always going to be free. We're always going to be here giving you support. And I need your help to reach more people who are looking for this information. Now things are changing really quickly. Now it's not us trying to reach people. Now it's people trying to find this because it's become so much more, it's become kind of mainstream. It's becoming mainstream. So we need to be there for people, and we want to be there for people, and we need your help to do it. So I will be so grateful if you can take the 2 seconds it takes to leave us a review and leave it there. I am so grateful that you are here listening. And of course, I will be back here next week on Thursday because that's our little date. Have a great week. Bye-bye.